Ahoy there, sailor. Yes, I'm talking to you. Do you yearn for high seas adventure and piratical mayhem at the roll of a d20?
Yes, I'll just toss you your shirt.
Thank you. Very sassy.
No, I drink beer and I fart in my sleep.
Now that I've got your attention with sex...
Welcome to my pub, the Wizard's Sleeve.
It's still a cow that I'm going to get in a bag. Do you know just, how big I'm a just cow gonna... is?
Don't put gold in your ass.
That's not the catchphrase we were looking for.
It is one that we often use at this
group, enough
though.
About where you keep your secret stuff.
It's not right. In my anus. Stop it.
Then sign your name in blood. I mean, join the Rovers on your crew on their adventures every Wednesday, wherever you find podcasts.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in. In San Francisco, Jack of all trades is willing to do odd jobs for extra cash. So if you need help, be sure to look for a sign. Pat Novak for hire. Today's show, the 1946 to 1949 series, Pat Novak for hire. Written by Richard Breen and Gil Dowd for the ABC Network. If you enjoy Pat Novak, be sure to check out volumes 1, 2, and 3 in the archives, and also let me know in the comments, through my email, or social media. All those links are found in the descriptions. And while you're there, please be sure to follow, review, and rate. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, the American Broadcasting Company brings to its entire network one of radio's most unusual programs. Pat Novak, for hire.
Sure, I'm Pat Novak, for hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says, Pat Novak for hire. You gotta put it in block letters, because down on the waterfront in San Francisco, there's a price tag on everything. You gotta do that or marry a rich widow. I don't like to work that hard, so I rent boats and do anything else that's cash and carry. Oh, it's all right if you don't mind trouble, because that's one thing you can't duck. It's like trying to dance the minuet in skis. And the best trouble always looks good from the outside. You're all smiles and feel like a kid opening a hand grenade under the Christmas tree. I found that out Tuesday night. It was around 7 o'clock. I was getting ready to close the office when this little guy showed up. He was about the size of a golf bag with arms. And if he had a cigar box, he could see over a pool table. He walked up to the desk and started talking in a voice that made you think he was trying to put Lily Pons out of work.
Hello, you Novak?
You're doing all right so far. What's on your mind?
I'm Jackie Gregg. You heard of me, huh?
You're the shy type, I know.
I'm Jackie Gregg, the jockey. You heard of me, huh?
All right, now I heard of you. Put the show on the road.
I'm looking for a horse. You want to find me a horse?
Yeah, I breed them in the back room. What color do you want?
You're so tough, I got to take that from you?
Calm down before you wind up in a boys' choir. If you got anything to sell, put it on the line or beat it.
I'm riding a horse tomorrow called Fleet Lady. She's disappeared.
She's not here.
I'm supposed to ride the sixth race with her tomorrow. The Bonanza Handicap, and she's gone.
All right, she's gone. Maybe your horse likes to go out at night. I haven't seen her. Get to the point.
I'll give you $200 to find that horse. Somebody took her in a van. I trailed her down here at the waterfront.
But you lost him up at the ferry building.
That's right. Something funny's going on. My mom disappeared, and you gotta find her.
This is a big waterfront, and where's the $200?
You'll get that all right. Down by Pier 19, the van turned in. Think you can find Fleet Lady?
I don't know. Who owns her?
A woman named Sybil Thornton. She's mixed up, I think.
Yeah. Why steal your own horse?
I don't know. Run a ringer, maybe.
That's a tough trick.
This woman's got some good ones. You want the $200?
Yeah. How are the odds?
What's the difference? You're going to open a book? You better take the $200 now.
Yeah, the dough will keep. You sound frightened, Junior.
And you sound nosy. Here's the $200. I want you to find the horse. You let me know at the Kingston Hotel, huh?
Sure.
And if you don't find anything around the waterfront, maybe you better try the track. Ask around there.
Yeah. By the way, how do you fit in? How come you got $200 interest in that horse?
Maybe I love horses. What do you care if maybe I love horses?
I don't. A guy like you's got to love something. Oh, yeah, it was a sweet proposition. A jockey in search of a horse. There's something phony about the whole thing. I had the $200, but I didn't feel good. It was like a guy stealing a murder gun to help out in a scrap metal drive. Well, after the little guy left, I closed the office and started to hit the docks, but it didn't work out. You know, you can buy good whiskey these days, so you feel funny walking up to some guy on the pier and asking, "Have you seen a racehorse around here, mister?" By 9, I was sure the horse wasn't around, so I borrowed a car and drove out to the track. I found out where Sybil Thornton's horses were quartered and headed down that way. It was pretty dark, so when I bumped into her, all I got was a vague outline. She had a good-looking vague outline.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, I'm full of regrets, too. Shall we try it again?
But you're a little mixed up in your animals. They keep horses here.
You don't seem to mind.
No, you lean nicely, but you'd probably feel safer with a platform. Yeah.
We try this again when I've had 3 good meals. That's a horse.
Yes, I know. In fact, I own her.
I see. That'd make you Sybil Thornton.
Yes, what would it make you?
A guy named Pat Novak looking for your horse. I was hired on the waterfront to find her.
My, they grow big on the waterfront. You must get a lot of sun. By the way, is Fleet Lady missing?
Your jockey says she is. That's why I'm snooping around.
Didn't know he had any friends.
He's got a checkbook. How about Fleet Lady? Is she tucked in bed?
Yes.
Well, let's take a look, huh?
Find it very dull, Mr. Novak.
Yeah, that's what they said to Anthony. Let's see the horse.
Suit yourself. She's down this way.
Okay.
I'm doing this out of the bigness of my heart. I think you're wasting my generosity, Mr. Novak.
Don't use it all this trip.
It's from the stable. Come on. Down about here. Fleet Lady's stall. Here. There's a flashlight on the wall.
All right. Your horses die broke, too. Who is it? Fleet Lady?
Yes. Are you satisfied?
No. I'm going to ring up headquarters.
You crazy.
Then I'm going to call Jackie Gregg and tell him his hunch paid off.
I wouldn't do that, Mr. Novak.
Stop kidding me, sweetheart. She didn't get killed in a fight with another horse. Gregg figured somebody was telling the machine. That's why Fleet Lady's dead. That's why I'm going to call headquarters.
Suit yourself, but remember what happened to Fleet Lady.
Are you getting tough, Angel?
No. You just wouldn't look good with a saddle, Mr. Novak.
Well, I watched her as she turned and walked out of there. It was the kind of a walk that makes you flip the calendar and find out how far away spring is. I looked around a while, but it didn't do any good. The place was full of doors, so whoever killed Fleet Lady got out easy, like a rumor at a church picnic. I closed the door and went down the line to call headquarters. As I stood in there talking, I saw Sybil Thornton drive away. It was a long convertible with red asbestos seat covers. After I called headquarters, I went back and waited near the stable. About a half hour later, a police car pulled up, and when I saw who got out, I began to get unhappy like a 3-legged man in a ballet school. It was Hellman from Homicide, and he had a squad with him.
All right, I'll talk to him.
Hello, Novak. Where's your trainer?
Your boys get paid to laugh at you, Hellman. I don't.
Yeah, where's the horse?
What are you doing on the case?
I came for the ride. You mind, Novak?
No, I just wondered if they wised up downtown.
Yeah.
Because you could find a dead horse, Hellman. If they staked it out in the middle of Market Street, you'd find it before long.
I'll try this time. Where is it?
Stall 18 over there.
Keep an eye on him, boys. I'll be back in a minute. In here, Novak?
Yeah, the one with the teeth like yours.
You better shut up, Novak.
Don't get jumpy. You haven't seen the horse.
Just shut up, huh?
It wasn't going to be much of a conversation anyway.
What color horse was that, Novak?
What do you mean? Take a look at it.
Yeah, I did. I just took a look. It's a smart horse, Novak.
What?
That's right. That dead horse in there is wearing a double-breasted suit.
Hellman got the message straight. I walked in and took a look. Jackie Gregg was lying there on the floor as dead as last year's love. The sickness didn't show until we rolled him over on his stomach. Somebody had gone duck hunting in the middle of his back. I began to feel a little sick myself, and I was ready to send out for the same gun when Hellman started to talk.
You forgot to mention the guy when you phoned headquarters.
He wasn't there. I was in here before, and the guy wasn't around.
What was he doing under the horse?
I don't know. Hellman, maybe he crawled out of a crack. I don't know. There were two shots. I came in and found the horse.
Yeah?
Check the horse.
You're trying to tell me the horse shot back? Who is he?
A guy by the name of Jackie Gregg. He gave me $200 to find a missing horse.
Yeah?
A horse called Fleet Lady running into Mara's handicap. This is the end of the line.
How do you know it's the same one?
I don't. Maybe you got to be a horse to tell. Why don't you ask one of your boys? Yeah, your boy's real tough. Call him off, Hellman.
He's nasty. We all hate him, Novak.
It's all right. I'll put it on your bill, Hellman.
That's good. You can write it up at headquarters.
Hellman, you ought to rent an idiot. The heavy thinking's too much for you.
I can piece this together. We come out here and find a dead man with you kicking up dust 40 feet away.
Look, Hellman, I didn't kill the guy and call up headquarters. I know they're bad in homicide, but I'm not that big-hearted.
We got a spare hook for you, Novak. That's where you stay until somebody gets you off.
Well, you can start out with Sybil Thornton.
Another horse?
She's got the speed for it. Look her up. She owns Fleet Lady, and she was dashing around in the dark here playing easy to get.
I'll look her up.
You better leave the boys behind, after all. She's only a woman. When you see her, ask her about that van down on the waterfront and what she was doing before I made that phone call.
I'll tag all the bases. Don't worry, Junior. And if things fit together, you'll both be in the jug. I'll see you later. I got work to do.
Yeah, it's getting late. You better put the boys back in the cage. I began to worry after Hellman left. There was no murder gun, and he didn't have too much to go on, but there was no one else wanted my job. Oh, I knew the girl was going to have an alibi, and I was the last guy that Jackie Gregg had seen. I had about as much chance as a fat girl at a Princeton prom. Hellman didn't like me, and he was a smart cop with a disposition like a ton of rhubarb. Well, I had to start right from scratch. I felt like Adam the first morning he woke up. So I looked up a guy named Jocko Madigan, an ex-doctor and a boozer who will give you a lift if you show him where the stirrups are. Well, he's a good guy, but he thinks all food makes a gurgle. I hit all the bars and finally found him up at Maggie Nielsen's apartment. She's a good-looking voice that lives up on the hill, and Jocko was working his way into her liquor supply.
Hello, Patsy. You're just in time to join me for my first drink of the evening, one of my first, at least.
Yeah, I see.
Maggie's not here, but I found her whiskey. It was in plain sight, locked in the closet under some newspapers.
All right, Jocko, when are you going to sober up?
Oh, I plan to do it briefly on April 1st, when the rest of the world plays the fool also.
Look, I'm in trouble, Jocko. You got to help me.
Good. I've a special bottle I use to forget your troubles.
Now, look, stop caressing that jug and listen to me. I'm in a jam.
Patsy, there's nothing in nature so sad as a half-empty bottle. It's like a broken vow or an unfulfilled promise in the skies. A falling star, almost.
All right, Jocko.
A falling star, and you shrug it off, never realizing that a whole world is ended at that moment.
Yeah.
100 million dreams, maybe, and you watch it fall and make an asinine wish. That's all the good it does a star to fall. It gives some kid a chance to wish for a bicycle.
You all finished now, Jocko?
Yes. What kind of trouble? Anything I could aggravate?
I'm mixed up out at the track. A guy by the name of Jackie Gregg is dead and I don't look good.
Oh, Hellman?
Yeah. The guy's a jockey and he hired me to find a horse named Fleet Lady.
Did you?
The horse and the jockey ran a dead heat, but there's something funny about the whole deal.
Did you talk to the jockey?
No, not enough.
Oh, Patsy, you've got to break yourself of the habit of waiting until people are dead before you think of a question.
Jocko, I want you to hit all the horse rooms. Find out what you can about the sixth race tomorrow. It's the Bonanza Handicap. Now hurry up, will you?
Well, if it's the sixth race, why can't we wait a while?
Start now. Get everything you can and call me. I'll leave a message at your place.
Where are you going?
I don't know. Maybe up to see the girl.
Oh, Patsy, you're going to be waving at the hangman's wife when they spring the trap door.
I gotta see her. She owns Fleet Lady.
Well, why don't I see her?
She's got a stake somewhere, and I got a lot of questions. What could you do up there?
Ah, yes. If it weren't an academic question, I'd argue the point.
Oh, it looked like a bum deal right from the start.
Patsy, you have the instinct for recognizing trouble, but not the intelligence to duck it.
Save your breath, will you?
You're like a man walking under a scaffold on a building. You realize it may crash down and kill you, but instead of hugging the building where you can't get hurt, Like every other dope, you scurry for the edge of the sidewalk where you're bound to get hit if it falls.
Jocko, will you get out to those horse parlors? I need facts, not fables. Now give me a hand.
All right. Give my love to Fleet Lady.
Her name's Sybil Thornton.
I'll bet I'm not far wrong. Good night, lover.
After I left Jocko, I went to the Chronicle morgue and looked up the NBC program director, Paul Stangle. We pulled out the clips on Sybil Thornton. They were nice and fat because she'd been to Reno 4 times and hadn't broke training for years. She'd been traded around more than a Red Sox pitcher. The clipping said she was 32. There were a lot of pictures, and from her eyes, you got the idea she was around 35. But there were arguments the other way, too. Well, there weren't any stories on her for the last few months, just a few items from the columns. They all said the same thing. She was hitting the night spots with a gambler named Rudy Hauser. There were pictures of him, too. Now, he would look good in a cave with heavy curtains. I asked Paul. He said Hauser had a gambling place out on Geary, so I took a cab out there. For $10, the guy at the door said Sybil Thornton had left the place an hour ago. That made me feel good. When Hauser opened the door to his office, I lost the glow.
Yeah? What's with you?
I got a problem.
You got the wrong door.
Well, you can't get any tougher, so I'm coming in.
Yeah, suit yourself. I never throw anybody out until I'm sure they've lost all their money. What's on your mind?
A horse named Fleet Lady. She disappeared at 7 o'clock tonight.
You check under the rug, I'll try the cabin.
She got back just in time to greet somebody's gunsel.
If I say no, will you go out and lose your money like a good boy?
Fleet Lady was owned by a gal named Sybil Thornton. The columns say you're number 5 on her list.
Well, they never lie. The whiskey's too good.
Also, a little bird says she was in your office an hour ago.
That's right. She said your name's Novak.
Yeah.
Next time you got a bombshell, give it a test run.
With Fleet Lady dead, your money's going to look real good in the 6 tomorrow.
Well, it makes you think the gal would throw a race.
For the same reason she goes out with you?
Huh?
When a gal takes a Great Dane like you out in public, it generally means the guy's a few bucks ahead of her.
You want to fight the team now, Novak?
Yeah.
And just remember, sometimes you can't be right in the gentleman, too.
Yeah. I hope that's the way you feel when they pick you up for Jackie Gregg's murder.
Huh?
Oh, you do a real nice double take, mister. The jockey checked out with a horse.
I didn't know that, Novak.
Yeah, with no brains, you built this gambling club.
I didn't know he was dead. If I told you that, Novak, I'd meant it. He's all right for a little punk. I'm sorry he's dead.
So's he. I'll see you later, Hauser. I gotta nose around and find out where you were tonight.
Yeah. You seem all right, Novak. So I'll tell you. If you got any dough left when you leave my table, it's bet it on a horse named Fleet Lady in the 6th race tomorrow.
Do you always bet on a dead horse?
You got the tip? Use it or bury it, but don't loan it out.
Oh, the case was a regular grab bag when I walked out of Hauser's office. I began to tick off the things that didn't add up. First on the list was that van down on the waterfront. If it was Fleet Lady, who got shot in the stable? If it was the ringer, that meant Fleet Lady would run tomorrow. I couldn't figure out why Hauser was so sure she'd win. An idea kept racing around the back of my mind like an ant in a cookie factory. Jackie Gregg lied about that van down on the waterfront, but why? Not to bail me out of the poorhouse with $200. I got part of the answer when I stopped with the pay telephone and called Hellman.
Yeah, Hellman talking.
This is Novak. I got some news.
You'll have to put it on the back page.
What do you got?
Your friend Jackie Gregg had some love life.
Well, there's a chance for you, Hellman. Who's the girl, Sybil Thornton?
Yeah, we found her picture in his wallet, the gooey kind.
I bet you stole it for long train rides. What time did he die?
The right fit for you, between 9 and 10 o'clock. 2 shots from a .32 caliber pistol.
How about the horse?
.45 caliber.
2 people. It's getting involved.
Maybe, maybe not. You got 2 hands, Novak.
Look up a guy named Rudy Hauser. He's got a joint out on Geary Street.
I got enough friends. You look him up.
I did. He's still talking about Fleet Lady and tomorrow's race.
All right, maybe he's sentimental. Look, Novak, I'll pick out my own work. I don't need free help from you. Jackie Gregg paid $200 and look what he got.
That suits yourself, but Rudy Hauser and that gal are close friends.
Yeah?
Like 2-part harmony in a telephone booth. Get off the dime, Hellman. Hauser's got that gal in his hip pocket. She owns Fleet Lady and he's betting her to win.
You're trying hard, Novak.
It's got to be a slow field to lose to a dead horse. Wake up, Hellman. You couldn't smell a rat in a basement full of cheese.
I did all right in your apartment.
Huh?
That .32 caliber pistol, we found it in your place. See you later.
Well, I wasn't too worried about that. Hellman's smart enough to know a phony plant. I began to think about that .32 caliber pistol. It's a woman's weapon. Well, that doesn't prove anything. So's a bread knife if she's in a bad mood. Must have been about midnight when I got to Sybil Thornton's place. She was wearing black lounging pajamas tied tight around a slim waist. She looked like a wasp with a nice sting, and she had company.
Come in, Mr. Novak.
Yeah?
Mr. Novak, this is Ronnie Stark.
Hello, Novak.
Yeah.
Well, he's not very friendly, Sybil.
He's just parting because they're going to arrest him for Jackie's murder.
How do you like Hellman?
You've known him longer.
Yeah. Somebody left the murder gun up at my place. Where you been all night?
Please, Mr. Novak. You're embarrassing Ronnie.
That's right. I'm blushing, and it's not the whiskey, Novak.
I see.
You must stay longer, Ronnie.
She's persuasive, huh, Novak? See you tomorrow.
You won't forget, Ronnie.
No, I won't forget. I'm betting on you, Novak.
What won't he forget?
Mr. Novak, I hope nobody ever asks you that question.
You don't want to talk about putting that gun in my apartment?
No.
Let's talk about Rudy Hauser, then.
Hmm?
Your meat grinder friend. We just had a good talk, and he opened up a new road.
What'd you tell him?
Don't break a spring. He's all right.
Will you do me a favor, Patsy?
Like not talking to Hauser anymore? Huh?
That's right. Won't do you any good, Patsy. It'll do me a lot of good.
How's he going to know which horse got killed? I'll bet you lied to him, Angel.
It's my apple cart, Patsy. Leave it alone.
Sure. But play your hand right, maybe. Because I'm going to watch your cards. And if you got one that says Jackie Gregg, I'm going to call you the hard way.
Patsy, you nice beast. I really think you would. Sit down.
Yeah.
A drink?
No.
Do you good?
Not right now.
Well, you've read the book.
Just a couple of chapters.
I bet they're the right ones.
You better watch out, baby. I may be a long shot.
Well, you care as long as I bet.
I don't.
That's good. I didn't think you'd mind.
Aren't you beginning to crowd the beachhead?
Don't be a sissy, Patsy. You can't live forever.
All right, Angel. It's time to wire the folks.
Mr. Novak, just wait until you know me better.
That's for me. I left the number.
It's your fault, then.
Yeah.
Hello, Patsy.
What'd you find out, Jocko?
Not much. Nobody seems to care about the sixth race.
I care about it.
That's because you killed one of the jockeys. The rest of the people have a more casual interest.
How do the odds run?
No heavy favorites. Vinair and Sleepy Time Gal figure to be the best at around 5-1.
What about Fleet Lady?
Down the line somewhere. I talked to one fellow. He says she's a dog and couldn't beat a paralytic goose over 100 yards.
Yeah, what else?
That's all.
What do you mean, that's all? Start digging, Jocko. We're not getting any place.
Not even at your end?
Huh?
Counted on you to do better than that. Good night, lover.
On the way home, I bought the morning papers. There was no story on Jackie Gregg, no details, and most of the story was a statement by Hellman on Hellman. There was no mention of Fleet Lady, and at 1 o'clock in the morning, there was nothing I could do but roll into bed. I woke up about 9, called Jocko. It was like sending a message out to the Farallones by Indian Runner. He just muttered and said he'd meet me out at the track. Well, I had to have some more dope, so I called Ira Snow. He calls the races and bets on them. The way he does it, a horse is a real beast of burden. He was playing elf when I got him on the wire.
Yeah.
Ira, this is Novak. What do you know about the Bonanza Handicap?
It's a horse race.
Oh, you're funny. What about the field? Are the horses any good?
For hamburgers, maybe. Nothing else.
How about Fleet Lady?
Eastern track. Nobody knows.
Would she be worth a heavy plunge?
Yeah, if you want to be a muck. What's this all about?
Ira, I'm in trouble. How about a fix? Could they run a ringer in on Fleet Lady?
Yeah, it's been done before, but it ain't easy.
That's what I figured. How's Rudy Hauser on horses?
He ain't. He got burned a long time ago. He never bets.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Look, Novak, I know every guy in town that's got the itch. Rudy Hauser, no.
You know a guy named Ronnie Stark?
Sure, he runs a book. Why?
Nothing. May see you at the track. I'm going to make a bet.
Yeah, I'll tell the horses.
Well, that left me in a hole. If Ira was right, Rudy Hauser on Fleet Lady didn't make a bit of sense. I got out to the track about 2:30. Jocko was there, and Hellman was wandering around up in the grandstand where they couldn't push him into a starting gate. Sybil Thornton waved from her box as I walked by to get a better shot at the starting line for the sixth. They were almost at the post when Jocko came back from the betting window.
Well, Patsy,
Patsy, I bet $2 on a horse called Scotch Victory. It seemed like a good omen.
Yeah.
I saw your friend Rudy Hauser at the window.
Huh?
He was pouring money down on the favorites to win.
Well, that's why the odds have gone down on Vin Air and Sleepy Time Gal. Look at that board, will you?
Yeah, Fleet Lady's gone all the way up to 12 to 1.
Yeah, from 8 to 1, all the way up.
Maybe the word got around she's dead.
No, that's the funny part. She's down there, see, number 3 on the rail. Not a peep out of anybody.
Is going to the front by one length. Sleepy Time Gal by a head. Fleet Lady between the horses is running third by one length. On the outside, it's Vin Air and Old Soldier. Going into the clubhouse turn, it's Hot Weather by two lengths. Sleepy Time Gal by a half length. Fleet Lady is moving up on the outside. It's Vin Air fourth by one length. An Old Soldier. Down the back stretch, it's Hot Weather by two lengths. Fleet Lady, moving up on the outside, is now second by one length.
She's running well for a ghost.
Yeah.
Rudy Hauser'd better hurry up or he won't see much.
What?
He better hurry. He left the track 10 minutes ago.
Huh? Are you sure, Jocko?
Yes, I heard him tell someone he had to make a phone call just before the betting closed.
Well... Jocko, you're a sweetheart.
Oh, I like to think.
Come on, let's go to that stable.
The race is over.
It was over 5 minutes ago.
Well, how about my $2?
Come on, will you? There's only one person who won't try to fix a horse race. That's a horse. Well, I knew there was going to be trouble fast. The horses were just coming under the wire when I waved to Hellman and started for the stable. When we got there, Sybil Thornton was clearing out like a fire sale.
I'm in a hurry, Patsy, darling. Let me by.
Now, you made a bad play, Angel. Stick around.
Let me by, Patsy.
You heard him, lady. Stick around.
Thanks, copper. I'll take charge.
That's a big gun, Hauser.
I got a big beef. You let me drop $100,000, Sybil.
It's your idea, Rudy.
Not this way. You let me drop $100,000 because you ran Fleet Lady.
The program said Fleet Lady, and that's who ran.
I brought those odds into line at the window. My other idiot looked bad on Fleet Lady. You didn't stay to watch her trail the field.
All right, I didn't stay. You lost your $100,000. You killed the ringer. You were a smart big shot who was going to sew up the race.
You ran Fleet Lady and cost me $100,000. All right, cop, I'll move away from her. Over this way, Sybil.
No. Don't let him do it, Patsy.
I want to see how tough you are.
Come on, Sybil. Let's you and me move against the stall.
Watch out, Hauser.
You're backing into the horse. Grab the horse, Novak. He's going to trample him.
You grab him. It's your idea. Yeah. You should learn the first time you can't beat the horses.
That's a bump joke, Novak.
I guess it is.
Now that we're all here, who do we book for Jackie Gregg's murder?
I'll answer that, friend.
Who's this guy?
It's one you missed, Hellman. Hello, Stark.
Hiya, Novak. Well, what are you waiting for, Sybil? Tell the man you killed Jackie Gregg.
Had enough trouble today, Ronnie.
Oh, you got more coming. Well, you figured it out yet, Novak?
Hauser dumped his $80,000 on you.
That's right. It's a lot of spending money.
Wait a minute. Ronnie, I don't like this.
Well, you get your half, baby. I'm going to write out an IOU. When they book you for murder and the vote's in, you can't use it.
You wouldn't do a thing like that, Ronnie.
A dead girl can't spend $40,000. She killed your guy, copper, and tried to palm it off on Novak. I was there, so I'll testify.
Ronnie, you're a no good guy.
Ah, don't be silly. I love justice. A booker for murder, copper. I want to tear up that IOU.
Well, Hellman finally worked it out. It started out as a fixed race, and when they were all through, it was up to the horse. Rudy Hauser put the squeeze on Sybil for some dough. She offered to run a fast ringer in place of Fleet Lady so Hauser could pick up a bag full. Rudy just wanted to make sure, so he sent one of his boys around to knock off Fleet Lady. Only the guy killed the ringer instead. Well, that was a break for Sybil. She made a deal with a bookie named Ronnie Stark to take all of Hauser's bets and guarantee him that Fleet Lady couldn't win because she wasn't that good a horse. It panned out that way. She let Hauser think Fleet Lady was dead. He spent the $20,000 at the window pushing up the odds on Fleet Lady, and
dumped another 80 on her to win. The moving van? Well, that was a phony story Greg used to get me to scare Sybil. He wanted in on the deal. He went back to the stable that night, got in a beef, and she killed him. She had him out in her car. When I went to make that phone call, she figured it was a good way to pass the buck. Hellman asked only one question. Why would a nice, tame horse go crazy and trample a guy to death? Jocko had the answer. The horse that killed Hauser was a filly.
Broadcasting Company has just brought you the fourth of a new series, Pat Novak for Hire, starring Jack Webb. Pat Novak is produced and directed by William P. Rousseau. Jocko Madigan is played by Tudor Owen. Inspector Hellman is played by Raymond Burr. Music was composed and conducted by Basil Adlam. In our cast were Virginia Gregg, Tal Avery, Stacy Harris, Hugh Thomas, and Carlisle Bibbers. This program is being released to our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Be with us again next week when over most of these same ABC stations we will bring you Pat Novak for Hire. This program came to you from Hollywood. Now, a listening reminder. Tonight, don't miss Jane Wyman when she guest stars and explains how she created her unforgettable role as the deaf mute in Johnny Belinda. Hear Jane Wyman tonight on this ABC station. This is ABC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that American Family Insurance agents can help build a customized renter's policy so you can protect stuff like this. Or this. Or even this. Well, case in point. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Ladies and gentlemen, the American Broadcasting Company brings to its entire network one of radio's most unusual programs. Pat Novak, for Hire.
Sure, I'm Pat Novak. For Hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says. Pat Novak for Hire. You don't get in the blue book that way, but you don't embarrass your friends either. Because down on the waterfront in San Francisco, they don't separate the good and the bad. They let them run together. And before long, you got a caste system. You're either alive or dead. If you're on top, you keep fading the crowd and trying for sevens until you lose the dice. It's about the only way to play it, unless you like worms. I rent boats and do anything else that'll put a fast handle on a buck. But it doesn't always work out because down here, all your luck is junior grade and trouble is trumps. I found that out Tuesday night. It was the first time I ever saw Reuben Calloway, and the last time, too, if you like to keep a tidy record. It was about 7 o'clock, and I'd just started back across the bay from Sausalito. You could still see Mount Tamalpais squatting on the Marin shore, light brown near the top, but dark and black farther down, like a cupcake that's been in the oven a little too long. A low fog was beginning to squeeze in on the far side, so I kicked in the searchlight, and that's when I picked him up. He was struggling feebly with his face near the water, and he was almost bald, so that when the light hit him, he looked like a cantaloupe that somebody got tired of.
I pulled alongside and started to haul him aboard. He brought most of the bay with him.
Help me. Please help me.
Yeah, well, we'd like to get a hold of you, will you? Come on. There. Sit down. No, here. Lean against the gunwale.
Thanks.
Is the water red or you've been shot a little?
Do you have to know everything?
No, it's your load. Carry it, mister.
Yeah.
Move your feet. I gotta get us ashore.
If you like it, go ahead. But don't hurry for me.
Well, if you feel that way about it, pick another spot to die in. Go back in the bay where you'll have company.
You've got to help me. I want you to get in touch with a girl named Alma Biggs.
Yeah?
You'll find her at the Empire Club out on Geary Street. My name's Reuben Calloway. Tell her about me. She'll pay you for it.
What'd she do, collect bodies?
Just give her this key. It's for a locker down in the bus station.
Now, look, Pop, you don't know me. Suppose I use the key.
You can't spend it. You better take the money.
All right.
Just see Alma and tell her it didn't work out. It didn't work out for me at all. I guess that's right, huh?
On the big things, you're 100%.
I don't need a check.
Oh. Here, set up. I told you I don't want you dying in here.
Stop beefing, fella. You don't have all the bad luck.
They must have sent a fast chariot, because when I leaned over, the guy was dead. And he was working hard at it, too. He was a skinny little guy, all bent up and twisted in the bottom of the boat like an old paper clip. It wouldn't do any good to straighten him out, because he wasn't going to sleep easy. His eyes were open and rolling around at the sky as if he was on the make for a star. And the skin hung loose around his face so that when you touched it, it felt like an empty baked potato. I pushed him into a corner and started for Pier 19. When I got there, I hauled him on the dock and went down to call homicide. Must have been about 8:30 when I took a cab out to the Empire Club. It was a gambling joint out on Geary Street where they cut their whiskey and cards in different rooms. I asked the guy at the window if he knew Alma Biggs, and he pointed her out by the roulette table. She was wearing a white satin evening gown. As I walked up behind her, I noticed she moved in rhythm with the roulette wheel. It was interesting. If it'd been a merry-go-round, they'd have pinched her. I squeezed in next to her at the table, and I was thinking of trying it again when she started to talk.
It's a tight fit. Are you sure you like it?
I'm not going to stay long.
That's what Rudolph Hess said.
Make your bets, ladies and gentlemen. Gamblers, make your bets.
Stake me, Alma.
I can't afford you, darling.
Well, go broke for Reuben Calloway, then. Four on the red.
I ought to keep you for luck, darling. Will you comb your hair?
I'll take the chips. They'd look bad on Calloway.
Oh? It's too crowded here. Let's find a closet.
All right.
Did he look pretty?
For a fish, he was all right.
Who are you?
Pat Novak. I picked him up in the bay. He said to look you up and tell you it didn't work out.
That would please Turk.
Yeah? Who's Turk?
The reason it didn't work out. Is that all, Mr. Novak?
Except for a key. It fits a bus station locker here.
You keep it, Mr. Novak.
It won't buy anything. Now, look, sweetheart, I picked up your boy and dried him out, but that's all. We were small friends at best, so the services stopped.
You can come to a slow stop for $200. Just take the key and pick up what's in that locker. I'll get it from you later.
Yeah?
I'll meet you in an hour. Where's a good place? Your apartment?
Well, it's a place.
I'll find it in a book. I hope you don't mind.
No, the thin walls will save me. What's in the locker?
What would it prove?
Proves you got a small mouth, Angel.
Unless you're going to kiss it, don't worry. 9:30, then?
All right.
I'll bring the 200 with me.
Don't worry about the dough.
Oh?
Because I scooped your chips off the table. See you later. She stood there watching me as I walked over to the cashier's window. Oh, she gave you a nice warm feeling like a Bunsen burner in the middle of your back. And as she stood there in the center of the floor smiling, you knew she could turn a glacier into a steam bath at 400 yards. A nice little mouse that made you want to go home and test all the old traps. Well, I cashed in her chips, and the boy at the window shoved out 200 rocks in a pained look as if he'd just handed over his right lung. I got a cab and rode down to the bus station at 7th and Market.
There were a few people sitting at the counter and a couple of old men on the benches waiting for somebody to get up and leave the funny papers. I went over near the wall and opened up the locker. It was a long trip for a small package. It was a square manila envelope and there was an address up in the corner. Reuben Calloway, photographer. I squeezed the envelope and it felt like photographs, but I wasn't sure. I started to close the locker when I turned and then I tumbled for the first time. It's like getting a drop of rain on your hand before you ever look up at the sky. The two of them were standing over by the cigar counter watching me. A guy with a heavy overcoat and a little small guy about the size of a hangnail. It wouldn't do any good to sit down because I knew they'd stay until somebody condemned the building, so I walked past him out onto the street. There was a cab standing right in front.
Cab, mister?
Yeah. Swing up toward the St. Francis, will you?
Yeah.
Now, look, you're going to be tailed, so brush up on your alleys.
If you like it that way.
Hey, you were supposed to take a left there on Mission.
I got a license. Where's yours?
I told you to double back over Market.
Look, get out and walk if you don't like it. I've been bought, mister.
Oh, my two friends.
That's right. You should have come first.
I ought to part your hair.
You got more chance with them. Here we are.
Where are you going?
You like alleys. That's what you're going to get.
Yeah.
Take it easy, fella. You're not going anywhere.
You were nice while you lasted.
Take it easy. You better walk up a wall. They'll block the alley. See?
Crowded alley, huh?
Yeah.
Give me the envelope so we can all get out.
Can Junior help you?
Give me the envelope. There. Now let's see it. Yeah, it's still sealed.
You all through?
I don't know. I'll see. You like him, Joe?
No.
That's the way it is, mister. He don't like you.
I slid down like an old sock on a bony leg. I rolled over a couple of times and tried to stand up, but it wasn't easy. You might as well try to find a hare in a bowl of chop suey. Well, it began to rain, and I figured it'd be easier to float out to the street, so I went to sleep. When I woke up, the rain hadn't helped the alley much. It's like washing your kid's face and finding out he was ugly to start with. The mud had washed up against the walls, and there was a thick, sour smell, and down the alley across the street there was a part of a sign sticking out that said Eats. And that isn't what you felt like at all. I started groping around to get up, and my hand hit the pictures. They were scattered all over like clothes in a boarding school. I picked them up and started for the street. On the way up in the cab, I got a chance to look at them, and they didn't make sense. There were six of them, and they were all just about the same, a bunch of mob scenes of that fire over in Oakland. I didn't have time to figure it out because the cab pulled up in front of the St. Francis, and I went in to call Alma Biggs and tell her the party was off. Part of that alley must have come with me, because when I walked into the lobby, the doorman looked at me as if I'd just blown up a nunnery. I tried the number once, but nobody answered. I decided to wait 20 minutes and call again. That was a mistake, because I just got in the booth and started to dial, and somebody started rapping on the door with a nickel. It was Hellman from Homicide.
Hello, Novak. Come on out. You can't get a date in that suit.
What do you want, Hellman?
Come on out! You're a hard man to find.
Well, you don't look in the right places.
I'm a family man. Tell me about the dead guy.
I don't know, Hellman. He died in my boat. That's all I know.
He didn't say anything?
Just sentimental stuff. His name's Reuben Calloway. Somebody threw him in the bay without instructions. I don't know a thing about him except he takes pictures.
Yeah?
Oh, wipe off the drool. They're not your kind.
Who are his friends?
He's got new ones by now. I don't know, Hellman.
How about that guy up in your couch?
Huh?
I just left your place. How about that guy on the couch?
There's a gal up there, but that's all.
Does she wear suspenders?
Huh?
Then take my word, it's a man.
And you're going to tell me he's dead, Hellman?
No, I'm not going to tell you he's dead, Novak. He may be a soft breather.
When Hellman mentioned the stiff up at my place, I knew we were going to be in low gear the rest of the night because Hellman isn't an easy guy. He wouldn't give his wife an aspirin if she had concussion of the brain. He took me out the side door and we rode up to my apartment. The dead guy was lying on the couch with his arms across his chest as if he wanted somebody to give him a lily or a way out of this. The lamp was shining down on his face and the light was distorted, but when you stood over him, you could see his face was the color of pressed seaweed. If he had anything to be happy about, you couldn't tell, because his mouth was open and hung over to one side like a loose change purse filled with old teeth. His clothes were rumpled and his shirt was open at his neck. You could see a chain around his neck and a silver medal in the dull light against his chest. It looked out of place and made you feel funny, like seeing a picture of a Madonna in a bowling alley. I watched him while Hellman made noise.
He still looks like a man.
Yeah? Who is he?
George Leggett.
What does that prove?
Who his mother was. We're checking for a record. The gun, too.
What gun?
One was lying here on the floor. I want to know if it's the same gun that killed Reuben Calloway.
Well, you'll need some prints.
Anybody can buy a handkerchief. Where were you tonight?
In an alley down near Mission Street.
Do you like it down there?
It's all right. You'd like it. I got shoved in and pushed around for these pictures.
They don't look like the right kind of pictures.
Well, I can't explain that, Hellman. Maybe they took the good ones.
How do you fit in?
Calloway gave me a key to a locker down on the bus station. It was for a girl named Alma Biggs.
And the girl sent you down?
That's right, with 200 bucks running money. If you want to know about Calloway, look up a guy named Turk.
Turk what?
I don't know, Hellman. Maybe he's only got one name. Maybe the other was Stinker. You got a police file. Look him up. The girl mentioned him. That's all I know.
We'll look him up. But I'm not going to forget you. One guy's dead on Pier 19. Another up here in your apartment. You're mixed up, Novak. There's a connection. I'll shop around till I strike it.
You couldn't strike oil on a filling station. You got a double murder. Shop for a pair of people.
I'll shop far enough to get you, Big Shot. Far enough to see you fry.
Well, you got the lard for it, Hellman.
If you keep your mouth shut now, you can hold in the blood. Oh, Hellman talking. Yeah? Where'd you find out? That'd make it easier. You sure the same gun killed them both? Yeah. Yeah, I'll be in.
Well?
Huh? Oh. Wrong number, Novak.
They didn't give Hellman a sense of humor. They gave him a loud laugh instead. When he walked out of my place, he was smiling like a funny man who's just exposed Santa Claus. I didn't feel very funny myself. I took another look at those pictures, and I was as mixed up as a guy with a Mexican divorce. They were just ordinary pictures of a fire in Oakland. What made them so important? I was sure that Gunsel had taken some pictures, but, well, were they any different than those? And why was Alma Biggs afraid to pick them up? And who was a guy named Turk? I was full of questions, but no answers, like some guy at a peace conference. If I went over it any more, I'd be counting my toes. So I got out of there and looked up Jocko Madigan. Oh, he's a good guy, and he was a smart one, too, until he decided the only way you can get a good trade-in on hard luck is with a bottle of whiskey. I found him at Emilio's bar, patting Bill, the bartender, on the back with one hand and pouring jiggers of gin with the other.
At the chambers down at Murray's, in the place where Louis dwells.
Jocko.
Ba, ba, ba. Gentlemen songsters off on a spree, doomed from here to eternity.
Jocko, I want to talk to you.
Shh, Patsy, I'm driving a Harvard man crazy. He's at the end of the bar.
Well, stop drinking and listen to me.
I've got to keep on drinking, Patsy, if I want to preserve any continuity in my life, because I don't drink to forget, but rather to remember. To remember all the pleasant events of my life. There were two of them, I think.
All right, Jocko.
The first was a girl I met many twilights ago, and the second was a summer night in St. Louis when a bartender felt crazed with the heat and set him up on the house.
Will you stop it? I'm in trouble.
Memory is a blessed toy, Patsy. But you have to be careful because it can be dangerous, like giving a rifle to a small child for Christmas. It's true he can get some temporary pleasure out of it by shooting various neighbors, but sooner or later he's going to kill the only rich relative in the family.
Jocko, I'm tired.
And memory is the same way. So you're entitled to collect the few good ones you have. You're allowed to straighten them out and put them in order. After all, an old pool ball gets racked now and then.
You all through?
Yes. I've run out of memories.
Hellman thinks I killed two guys 10 miles apart.
Wasn't it difficult?
The same murder gun. The whole thing is tied up with some pictures.
In color?
A guy by the name of Reuben Calloway died in my boat. He gave me a key to a locker downtown. The pictures were there.
Is that one of them?
Yeah, take a look.
Oh,
If it's a group picture, they were a very unruly family.
It's the Oakland fire. Two Gunsels followed me and took some of the pictures. In the meantime, some guy got shot in my place. Everybody's after the pictures. Why?
Have you seen the other pictures?
No, I took an intermission. That's why you got to help. Now, you'll find Reuben Calloway's address in the phone booth. Get up there and go through his stuff, will you?
It doesn't sound legal.
Neither's a bum murder rap. Get up there and go through his pictures. Try to find anything that'll fit in with his set.
Where are you going, besides jail?
I gotta find a gal named Alma Biggs.
Oh, you'll have trouble with a name like that. She's probably changed it.
The locker key was tabbed for her, but she hired me to run her errands.
Is she pretty?
Yes, if you like a fast track. Now get up there, Jocko.
Why can't I see her?
Will you stop it, Jocko? Just get up there. Forget about her. She'd scare you to death.
Yes. Well, at least I'd die hopeful. Good night, lover.
Finding Alma Biggs was quite a job. I knew she was around, but I couldn't get to her. It was like trying to get a peanut shell out of a back tooth. I called the Empire Club, but they didn't know anything about her. I went through all the phone books and the city directories, and I didn't get anything but a sore thumb. And I didn't do any better with the hotels. I sat in Lupo's and called them all one by one, and by 1 o'clock, I knew more desk clerks than a vice squad cop, but no Alma Biggs. Finally, I went out to the Empire Club and started talking to the cabbies. About 15 minutes later, one pulled up and remembered taking a girl in a satin evening gown up to an apartment on the hill. I called Hellman and rode up there to check the names. Alma Biggs had an apartment on the second floor. I knocked on the door and she didn't answer, so I tried it. The lights were out, so I closed the door and groped over to the desk. I should have noticed the draperies as I passed because they were full of people.
Wait a minute.
All right, now.
Wait a minute, Mr. Novak. Stop breaking things. Someday you may want to mend me.
Do you always sleep in the curtains?
Do you always talk this long in the dark? Turn on the light.
Yeah.
I wanted to see who you were.
George Leggett, maybe.
Oh? Do you know him?
We're roommates. He died on my couch tonight.
Anything serious or just humdrum death?
He's satisfied. What do you know about him?
Well, I never heard anybody say a bad thing about him. Of course, I never heard anybody mention him.
Now, look, Angel, it's late. Who's George Leggett?
Why do you care?
Because homicide cares. They got Calloway and Leggett back to back, and they want my skin.
It's a nice skin, darling. Where are the pictures?
Unless you're a social worker, you're not going to like them here.
Let me see. They're not all here.
Yeah, I figured that.
Where are the other pictures, Patsy?
In some Goniff's album. Two of them jumped me down near Mission Street.
Who are they?
We never got that friendly.
Well, there couldn't have been two of them.
Well, maybe the little guy was just window dressing, but he gave the right answers.
Patsy, I think you're a liar.
You're nicer than homicide.
I want those pictures.
You do.
Well, I'm going to take them away from you.
Well, if I had them, that's a big enough gun to do it.
Get the pictures, Patsy.
It's a bad time for murder, Angel. Homicide's working this week.
I haven't time, Patsy. I'll push you down like a blade of grass. Get the pictures.
Now, look, sweetheart. I took a job for $200. It covers a tandem murder rap and a sapping down on Mission Street, but it won't cover big talk from you. Now, put the gun away or I'll bend you hard.
Don't move up when you talk.
You're around behind. Come on, give it to me.
Up it, Patsy.
Feels good. Let it go or take the pain. Drop it.
You don't have to hang on. I'm not a barbell.
You're handy now. Who's Turk?
Stop it. You're hurting my arm.
There's a guy named Turk. I want to know who he is.
Late for that.
Who is he?
Go ahead, tear it off, and you'll die ignorant.
Yeah.
You sound blue, Novak.
Oh, what do you want, Hellman?
I want to give you a reason. We got the coroner's report on George Leggett.
Yeah?
He died in your apartment. The blood off your carpet looks good on these slides.
All right, so the murderer sold me the rug. So what, Hellman?
So we ran down George Leggett's record. A Detroit gunman who got out here 6 weeks ago.
Yeah?
He traveled for years with a guy named Turk Spaniel.
Now, that's your boy. You better find him.
We already have.
Don't tell me he's up on the couch.
He was born too soon for you. We checked with the Detroit police.
What'd they say?
They know all about Turk Spaniel. He was killed 9 years ago in West Detroit. But they found the guy that did it and sent him up to Lansing for life.
Yeah?
Yeah. He was a guy named Joe Biggs. Say hello to your girlfriend.
Well, I didn't talk to the girl because I knew she'd close up faster than a Dublin meat market on Friday. I left her and went down to the Chronicle morgue to find out what I could about Turk Spaniel. Hellman had covered it. Spaniel talked too much, and Joe Biggs killed him and left him growing out of a ditch like an old weed. I didn't know where to turn now. With Turk gone, who was after those pictures besides Alma Biggs, and what did they prove? I knew the answer was there, probably in plain sight, like a blimp on a football field, but I couldn't get near it. It was past two when I got back to my apartment and the phone was screaming for help. Yeah?
Hello, Patsy. This is Jocko.
What'd you find out?
That Calloway was quite a photographer.
Yeah?
You should see some of the pictures. Ooh, I'm in love again.
All right, Jocko. Did you find anything?
There's a check for $1,000 from Alma Biggs.
Yeah, what else?
Some more pictures of the Oakland fire. One of them looks good.
Yeah?
It's just like the rest, except in the background, something is circled with a red pencil.
That'll do it, Jocko.
And there's a clipping here with another picture. I can't tell, but I think they match.
What's it say?
Well, it's all about...
Jocko, what's the matter? Are you all right, Jocko? Jocko, you all right?
He says to tell you no.
After Jocko's call, I grabbed a cab and rode up to Calloway's apartment. When I got there, Jocko was sitting in the middle of the floor as sad as a steer on a sheep ranch. He hadn't seen who hit him, and the picture was gone, so was the clipping. I asked him if there were any negatives around. He said no. That meant that somebody was still on the prowl for those negatives. So I called Hellman and briefed him. He said he'd meet us at Reuben Calloway's studio in 10 minutes. When we got there, it was dark, but I sensed Hellman in the back room. Turned out to be a couple of pans of acid, but Hellman was there going over the negatives.
All this guy did was take pictures.
Let me take a look, will you, Hellman? Can you spot the right one here, Jocko?
Hold them up to the light.
All right. Here are the fire pictures.
How about this one?
No, I had that one.
Yeah, that's it. And this fellow back here is the one that was circled.
Hold it up so I can see.
Hello, Turk. You waited too long.
Give me the picture, mister.
All that gun will do is make noise, Spaniel. It won't make enough to keep a secret.
Just hand me the picture.
Somebody knows you're alive now. The picture's for laughs.
It's your word against mine. And I'll be so far away I can't hear the argument. Let's have it.
Don't give it to him, Novak.
Yeah, I'll give it to him. You take it away, Hellman.
Thanks, Novak. That alley taught you manners. Just stand over there. I want to remember the way you looked.
Don't worry. I'll tell you about them, Turk.
Huh?
If you keep backing into this gun, it's going to show around your breastbone.
The guns are getting cheap. You better drop yours, Spaniel.
Over there. You look the same, Turk, or almost the same.
You got this all wrong, Alma.
Joe doesn't look the same. 9 years in the cooler and you lose your personality.
Please, Alma, don't do anything crazy.
After 9 years, you lose almost everything. Joe's lost everything but me. Down on the floor, Spaniel. I want you on your knees.
Please. Alma, you got it wrong.
I got it all right, Turk, because Joe wouldn't lie to me. When he said he didn't kill you, I knew you were alive.
Please, Alma.
Down on the floor beside the table.
Go easy, baby. You got a copper here.
I can't hurt him, Novak. Turk Spaniel's legally dead. All you can do to a dead man is kick up the dust.
Please, Alma, you're not seeing this right.
I'm going to have a better chance than you. You couldn't see, Spaniel. You couldn't see your way back to help Joe out. You look good on your knees. Over by the table.
Leave that acid alone, sweetheart.
I'm going to help him see. With a whole panful of it. I'm going to help you see, Spaniel.
Please. Please, Alma. You wouldn't do that.
You got the short end of the bat.
You better look at him, Jocko.
Don't bother, unless you're a baby doctor.
We may need you, lady.
Not for this copper. Remember, Turk Spaniel's dead. Detroit says so.
He looks live now.
He can't be dead there and live here. I like your climate, but it's not that good. You can't see me, Turk. So I'll bet you can hear me walk out of here. Goodbye, Turk. I'll send you a cane.
Hellman managed to get most of the story out of Turk Spaniel. Reuben Calloway stumbled into the whole thing and he didn't know what hit him. He went over to Oakland to take some pictures of the fire and he got a picture of Spaniel in the crowd. Spaniel saw him and trailed him over to this side. He had to get the pictures because back in Detroit he'd framed Joe Biggs with a riddled up body and skipped out of the country. He'd been away until a few weeks ago, and now he was waiting for a boat out of San Francisco, so he had to stay dead. He sent George Leggett after the pictures, but Leggett figured it was a good way to double-cross him and stay in the clear, so he tipped off Alma Biggs, who'd come out here on a lead a few weeks before. Turk finally tumbled. With a local gunsel, he killed Calloway and left Leggett in my apartment where he trailed him. It almost worked out, but he didn't get to that shop in time. Well, Hellman asked only one question. When I first met her, did I know that Alma Biggs was that hard? No. In that satin evening gown, I didn't think so.
The American Broadcasting Company has just brought you the fifth of a new series, Fat Novak for Hire, starring Jack Webb. Fat Novak is produced and directed by William P. Rousseau. Jack O'Madigan is played by Tudor Owen. Inspector Hellman is played by Raymond Burr. Music was composed and conducted by Basil Ethem. In our cast were Yvonne Fady, Charles McGraw, Herb Butterfield, and Herb Ellis. This program is being released to our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Be with us again next week when over most of these same ABC stations, we will bring you Pat Novak for Hire. This program came to you from Hollywood. Now, a brief reminder. There is no mystery to this statement. Wherever they serve, at home or abroad, the men who wear the uniform of the United States are men of whom we can be proud. Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. All of them serve our country and us with pride and honor. ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.